Pet stores across the state of California will have to change the way they do business over the next year because starting in 2019, state law will require all pet stores to get their cats and dogs from shelters or other entities that rescue animals, not breed them for sale. Assembly Bill 485 passed the California legislature this year and was signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown. It does give pet stores, as we mentioned, more than a year before the requirements come into effect. Let's explore those requirements and the reasons behind the law. We have two guests. Judy Mancuso is with Social Compassion in Legislation. She's the founder and president. Judy, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you.
Lindsay Dadko is with us as well. She's a spokesperson for PETA. Thank you for joining us, Lindsay.
Thanks very much.
Judy, tell us about your organization and why it wanted this law in particular.
Well, I founded Social Compassion in Legislation in 2007 to address pet overpopulation problems, meaning that at the time we were taking in a million dogs and cats into our shelters and killing over 500,000 that just went to rendering plants and landfill every year because they, you know, didn't get a home and the shelters were crowded and more coming through the door, so they get put down.
Wow. So basically half of the creatures that were coming into shelters in California were put down?
Right. And now the data that we have, which isn't scrubby-dub clean because not all the jurisdictions are reporting, the numbers are still at 800,000, over 800,000 coming in and 400,000 getting put down. So if those numbers are true, we're making some strides with our spay and neuter efforts, microchipping, adoption. But this, AB 485, addressed the steady flow of animals that have been coming from these cruel puppy mills and adding to our population. Those animals in the pet stores that came from the puppy mills are not spayed and neutered. They go out into the community. There's a lot of the oops litters happen. You know, people didn't mean to have a litter. And then next thing you know, there's a box of puppies or kittens going to the shelter.
So, Lindsay Dadko at PETA, give me some idea of what PETA's thoughts are on what's going on with animal, particularly house pet populations.
Yeah, well, to kind of underscore what Judy said, you know, we have a massive overpopulation crisis of dogs and cats in this country, with about half of all the animals who go into our nation's shelters being euthanized every year. And that's why spay and neuter and adoption is so important. And with this bill, California has set an example that PETA hopes will be followed by many more states and municipalities all across North America, because prevention truly is key. And the only way to end this cycle of suffering is to stop the animals from being born in the first place. And this law is going to go a long way toward accomplishing that.
Why do you suppose, Lindsay, it's taking so long to get the message across? I mean, where are the gaps? I mean, we've had Bob Barker, who long since has retired from TV, spent years on The Price is Right, among many other people, you know, saying spay and neuter your pets every day.
Yeah, you know, a big part of the problem is the puppy mills and the pet stores, who are largely responsible for the cat and dog overpopulation crisis, and then, you know, the corresponding need for euthanasia of millions of animals every year. It's so irresponsible for breeders to keep bringing more animals into the world when we've already got this overpopulation crisis. Again, this bill is really important in, you know, encouraging people to adopt. And I know that, you know, a number of animal supply stores in my area here in California already have kind of a setup like this where, you know, they'll have kind of showcases for local animals from shelters, and people love it. You know, they love coming into the store to see the rescued kittens and cats who have been brought in, and it helps draw attention to those local shelters and rescue groups that are doing such a terrific job, too.
So, Judy Mancuso, if you can give us an idea do we have an idea what the percentage is of the animals in pet stores that are coming from the so-called puppy mills? Is it all of them, or just part of them?
Well, no. I mean, there's the backyard breeders as well that are in California, people that are raising dogs and cats to sell in a newspaper or online. And those are very hard to regulate, and most local jurisdictions have laws on the books, and when they find out about them, they do something. But as far as how many animals were coming in from puppy mills, in 1 year, I visited the state veterinarian's office, and his estimate, he had health certificates that were coming in with the animals, and there was nothing really for him to do with these things, and he kept storing them, and he brought me into the room, and it was just boxes piled almost to the ceiling, and his count in 1 year was about 50 to 80,000 dogs and cats brought in from puppy mills into California. Now, let's just think about 50,000. If 50,000 came in and they can reproduce, you know, 10 animals each, all of a sudden you see what kind of burden this can cause.
Absolutely. We're talking about the puppy mill bill in California, which will require pet stores to sell their pets from shelters or other rescue organizations and not any of the so-called puppy mills starting in 2019. That's Assembly Bill 485. Judy Mancuso is the founder and president of Social Compassion and Legislation. Lindsay Dadko is a spokesperson for PETA, the animal rights group. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Lindsay Dadko, is this just dogs and cats, or does it extend to other pets as well?
This also extends to rabbits as well. So the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits will all be banned, which is a wonderful thing. And rabbits can be difficult to place sometimes. A lot of people don't necessarily always think of their local shelter as the first place to check for a rabbit. But I know my local shelter takes in rabbits, and so it is worth stopping by if you're interested in adopting a rabbit and checking with your local shelter or rescue.
The actual wording of the new section of the state laws: a pet store operator shall not sell a live dog, cat, or rabbit in a pet store unless the dog, cat, or rabbit was obtained from a public animal control agency or shelter, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals shelter, Humane Society shelter, or rescue group that is in a cooperative agreement with at least one private or public shelter. And there is a reaction here. Obviously, the American Kennel Club and California Retailers Association, among the groups that opposed it, on the grounds of this is not giving pet lovers access to the kind of professional, licensed, and ethical commercial breeders that they can get a hold of. Judy Mancuso, you probably have heard from at least a few breeders along the way about this bill. Tell us about the responses you've gotten.
Oh, I've been hearing from them for a very long time. I started this process back in 2008, actually, researching doing a bill like this, and South Lake Tahoe did an ordinance that I looked at, and then so those words you read are very meaningful to me because I came up with every one of them over the years with, you know, legal counsel in trying to define what it was we wanted to do, and including rabbits, because the poor rabbits are just lingering in the shelters and getting put down, and that was controversial. I had a lot of even animal groups say, oh, no, you shouldn't put rabbits in. That's going to jeopardize the bill. And in the end, it did not. It strengthens it, and it's a better thing. But what the breeders say, what the AKC and PJAC and their pet land, all their allies say, is that, you know, you're limiting choice. Well, there's plenty of choice. I mean, you can look up on petfinder.com, adoptapet.com, and, you know, type in your zip code, what breed you want. And there's a lot of purebred rescues, number one, that we would love for people to go to first, right? But if they have to have that purebred puppy, then know who you are buying from. You will find someone local. Go to that location. See what they're up to and what these animals, what kind of situation they're in, and their health. So even though they say we're limiting choice, we are not. We're just trying to get the purchaser to do a little due diligence so that it's not coming from these cruel breeding factories with all these hereditary diseases. And what they care about at the end of the day is money. They make their registration fee off every animal that is registered, off every purebred animal that's registered. So they don't care if further down the channel this dog or cat gets put to death in a shelter because they already got their $25 or whatever it is they get for that registration fee. And if you Google the AKC's 990s, their top executives, some make over $250,000 a year. So money matters to them.
Is there any set of regulations and laws in place already? I mean, there must be something that dictates ethical treatment within the puppy mills themselves.
No, well, I mean, there are regulations, but there's not enough, USDA inspectors to even go out to them. When they do inspect, if there's a violation, they don't go back to see if it's fixed, and we have records of that. And then any stricter regulations that have been tried to be put in place have gotten repealed or blocked by Big Ag and the AKC and all these same players.
Lindsay Dadko, I read in the Los Angeles Times that there are 36 local jurisdictions in California, including the cities of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, that have already passed local ordinances like this puppy mill bill that requires pet stores to get their pets for sale from shelters. Are we seeing much effect from those local ordinances?
Yeah, and it's absolutely something, you know, we want to see duplicated. I believe the first city in the nation, in fact, to ban the sale of dogs and cats from puppy and kitten mills was West Hollywood. I think that was back in 2010. But yeah, we do anticipate that this will have an impact on, you know, the number of animals who are pouring into shelters and accidental litters, and also an impact on in terms of the number of animals who are being euthanized every year. But I did just want to go back to this idea of, you know, folks looking for purebreds. And I thought Judy's point was a really good one, that, you know, there are a lot of fantastic breed-specific rescues out there. And, you know, the truth is, too, if you just walk through your local shelter, about one in every four dogs in there is a purebred. People might be surprised. But, you know, mutts come in every shape and size. They're generally healthier and have better temperaments than purebreds. And so, again, just emphasizing that the best place to find any kind of animal companion that folks are looking for is the local shelter.
We're talking about California's puppy mill law, which will go into effect in early 2019, which requires pet stores to source their pets from shelters and not from breeding operations. Lindsay Dadko with PETA. Judy Mancuso is the founder and president of Social Compassion and Legislation. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Any concern, Judy, that people who do want a certain kind of dog will begin to deal directly with the puppy mills more than they used to?
Puppy mills directly, I think that there's been a problem since the internet started with Craigslist giving away animals. You know, we can't do much about the internet because of interstate commerce laws. So that is a huge challenge, but it has existed. People have been buying directly from puppy mills. Craigslist has been giving away animals that go to who knows who, if they're using them for bait animals and fighting or what. So, no, I mean, what we found in these local jurisdictions is that people, to Lindsay's point about going into their local store, they love that. A lot of people do not want to go into a shelter. They feel it's depressing, it smells, it's sad. They know that when they walk out, the ones they're leaving behind looking at them in the face are going to be put down. They don't want to do that. So Andrew Kim is with a local store called Healthy Spot, and he testified for us a couple times in Sacramento. And what Andrew has found, he started in 2009 with one store, and now he has 12. He started with four employees. He now has 225. And his success has been bringing in these animals from the shelters. People come. They love seeing them, that they're at his store, they don't have to go to the shelter, they adopt them, and then they keep coming back to him to do the grooming and products and services, training. So it's been a really big success model. And we know that Andrew Store alone has adopted out 600 animals in 1 year. So going back to your question about impact, he's just one store, and he has affected 600 getting adopted that LA Animal Services did not have to euthanize.
All right, so it sounds like having shelter animals in stores, which are, you know, spruced up a bit to look more like, you know, happy places where people want to buy things, then shelters can have an impact here. When do the provisions of Assembly Bill 485 go into effect, Judy?
Well, 2018, it goes into law, and then the clock starts ticking that they get the one-year grace period. It's called the delayed implementation before it gets enforced. And the reason for that, we originally had 6 months because the other jurisdictions where we did these local ordinances, we gave 6 months. It was plenty of time for the store to transition. But the legislature had a lot of puppy mill folks come in and beg and plead for more time. And so there you go. They decided to give them 1 year, and that's what they have. So
January 2019?
Correct, and then it'll start being enforced.
So is there room for non-shelter transactions with pet stores? Like if a kid shows up at a pet store with a box of kittens, can the store take those kittens?
They would have to be checked in to the local shelter, and then the shelter would, you know, do all the health checks. Obviously, you don't want someone showing up with a box of puppies or kittens and the puppies have parvo, right? So you have to do all the health checks to be sure before you put them in this public environment that they are healthy. So in that case, no, that should not happen, but it could go through a normal route, a protocol, and eventually they would be in the store.
Okay. I imagine you're proud. I mean, this is the first state in the country that's passed this kind of a law, isn't it, Judy?
The first in the world. And I was just on South Korean TV the other night. I've been on Australian radio. It's been a sensation.
All right, the puppy mill bill goes into effect, in 2018, but the grace period carries over to January of 2019. Judy Mancuso, Social Compassion and Legislation. Lindsay Dadko at PETA, thank you both for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.